Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. And we looked a little bit at camp on the first night. I looked at heart a little bit, and I wanted to get into it a little bit more because heart is a very important part of our lives. You know, it's the heart is an interesting thing because the word heart, of course, we have the pump in our body, and without your heart pumping, what happens?
You die.
You know, it's vital. It's you know, we talk about vital organs, and the vital organs function your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your liver. But the heart, especially, if it stops, everything else stops. And when we refer to heart in reference to our life or our mind, it's the vital part of our mental and spiritual life, right? And it's where the issues of life come from, it says in Proverbs. And it is the innermost part of your being. It's what is really you, and that's where you believe in your heart. So it's an important thing. And in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." If you have the time, you should read the context of this, because Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah, and it wasn't the best of times. He started out at the time of Josiah, who was a really good king, but then after that, the sons of Josiah were very bad kings, and so Jeremiah had to deal with that, and he came under attack, and what sustained him, what kept him going, and what helped him was God's word. In the NIV, that part that says, "Thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart," it says in the NIV, "They were my joy and my heart's delight." So the word to him was his heart's delight. It's, you know, another place it talks about the heart, and it says the word was more than necessary food, you know. Let's go to Psalm 119. So Jeremiah was an incredible guy, and what sustained him through his life and helped him was God's word. It was the joy and rejoicing, or it was his heart's delight. It's what kept him going. It's what allowed him to do what he had to do. God called him, and we're going to look at him in a few minutes, but I want to look at a few verses that talk about heart. Well, more than a few verses. Okay, verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Here the psalmist, which it doesn't say David. It may have been David. It may have been one of the guys that were in his court. But whatever, it says, "Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee." When you hide something in your heart, what does it mean? It means you really have it in there deeply, right? It's in the very midst of it. It's there. It's solid. It's not going to escape from there. It's not going to leave. It's deep in your heart. We say a ship is in the midst of the sea or in the heart of the sea. What does it mean? It's in the middle, way out in the middle, right? When the word is in your heart, it's in the very middle of your heart. It's in the depths of your heart. And when it's there, you're not likely to sin against God. Pretty simple, pretty easy. When the word is really living in your life, you want to do what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. And so anyway, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs has many references to heart. We're going to look at 20 or 30 of them. Well, not that many. But Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "My son, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So the first instruction is to forget not his law. Forget not his word. Now, are you going to remember all the word all the time? No. Nobody has all the word committed to memory that I know of. There may be somebody out there, but I don't know them. But he says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Of course, the first and great commandment is to love God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like unto the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. So if you keep those commandments, you're going to be in pretty good shape. And he says, keep my commandments. Let thy heart keep my commandments. Again, it's those commandments would be deep in your heart. They would be there so that you keep them. You guard them. You watch over them. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And you know, we all want those things, don't we? Length of days, long life, and peace. And length of days means your days are full. They're rich. You know, they don't go by fast and you don't accomplish anything. But, you know, they're good days. And long life. And I don't know how to define long life. I don't know that I fully understand it. I know that we at least can live out our full natural life. And peace. Peace shall be added to thee. And we all want peace. And peace is just a great thing. We have peace with God and we can have peace in our lives. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy and truth. You know, write them upon the table of thine heart. Meaning, you know, put them in there and hold them. Keep them there. Let's go to chapter 4. Well, and then after it says, write them upon the table of heart, it says, shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Okay, chapter 4, verse 20. Some more on heart. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, you can't attend to God's words and incline your ear unto his sayings unless you take the time to what? Look at it, yeah. Study it, read it. Because that's how it gets into your brain. That's how it gets into your heart. You know, just going to a fellowship today, you know, the best I can hope for is I inspire you to believe and to, you know, be more diligent in putting the word into your heart. In this particular instance. But if you don't do it, this teaching will probably be forgotten shortly and quickly, which I'm sure we've all experienced at times, right? I've heard some great teachings and a week later forgotten all about them until I need to bring them back to remembrance and then I put my head into it. So it says, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them in the, don't just keep them in your heart, but keep them where? In the midst, in the heart of your heart. Actually is what it could be translated. Keep them in the heart of your heart, in the very midst of your heart, in the depth of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. You know, we're to keep our heart with all diligence, and to keep our heart with all diligence, we have to put the word there. We have to keep God's word fresh and alive in our heart. You know, and that just means we do it every day. You want to put fresh food in your body, don't you? You don't go looking for old leftover food, do you? No. Most people don't. We want to have fresh, good, healthy food. Well, in our mind, we want to keep good, healthy things there also, right? In our heart. And that's the Word of God. Let's go to chapter 7. Now, I am just looking at the positive things about heart in Proverbs. It also tells you negative things. You know, it tells you if you don't do these things, what happens to your heart? And if you put stupid things into your heart, what'll happen? You'll get stupid. That's all. Okay, chapter 7, verse 3, verse 1, it says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." You know, when we say something is the apple of our eye, what do we mean? Yeah, it's favorable, right? We really like it. It has an important place in our mind. It's not talking necessarily about your physical eye, but the eye of your mind. And then it says, "Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." Again, keep them there. You know, you could look at it and it could be the apple of your eye one minute, but then you could forget it the next. So what do you need to do? You need to put it into your heart, to keep it there, to remember it, to watch over it. Let's go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 8, it says, "A wise heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." Does anybody here want to be a prating fool? I don't even know what prating means, but babbling? A babbling fool. Who would like to be a babbling fool? You ever meet a babbling fool? I have. I've been a babbling fool at times. But nobody wants to be that. Nobody aspires to be a babbling fool. But a wise person will keep the word and receive the commandments. Let's go to chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 15. It says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." And when it says here, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge," what knowledge is it talking about? God's word. God's word, right. It's not talking about science or philosophy or history or sociology or psychology or any of that other stuff. It's talking about God's word, because that's where true, real wisdom comes from. Wisdom being the correct application of knowledge. And let's go to chapter 19, verse 21. What did I say? Verse 21. "There are many devices in a man's heart." There are many devices in a man's heart. Every 20 seconds is probably a new device. They come and they go. They fly through there. "Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand." And you know, what is important and what we have to do in our lives is we put God's word in our heart. We write it on the table of our heart. We keep it in the midst of our heart. We guard our heart. We watch over our heart. And then what we have to do is we have to use the Word of God as a filter. And we filter in and we determine what is true and what is important according to what God's Word tells us. Because that's the true measuring stick. That's the true standard of what's important and what's right. And, you know, it's easy to get tricked at times, isn't it? Some things look really, really, really good, sense knowledge wise, but in reality, they're not so good. They may feel good for a short period of time, but they may not be good. And so the Word of God has to be our standard, has to be our filter. Let's go to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Chapter chapter 5, verse 17, it says, wherefore, and if you read the beginning of chapter 4, and the beginning of chapter 5, then you get to wherefore. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do you understand the will of the Lord?
From his word.
That's the only reference to God's will and the will of Jesus Christ we have is what it says in the Word of God. That is our standard. That is our reference. You know, if you want to have a reference for aerodynamics, I'm sure there's a textbook on it, right? But to be wise and understanding, you have to know what the will of the Lord is. Then it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, and that is the new birth Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, that's pretty great, isn't it? And where do we do this? In our heart. Not just, you know, people can act real enthusiastic about God and they can, you know, sing songs and they can be real emotional. But then is it in their heart? You know, and that's the important thing. When it's in their heart, they stick to it. They don't get pulled away. They don't get distracted. They don't get fooled by the world, deceived. So it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we have that word in our heart and when we're making melody in our heart to the Lord, we're thankful. You know, we're just thankful. We're thankful for all things that God has given us. And all good things come from God. And all things that aren't good don't come from God. Goes without saying. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. I haven't forgotten about Jeremiah. Okay? But chapter 3 of Colossians says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things of bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Above all these things, put on charity, the love of God. Put it on. Which is the bond of perfectness, or the glue, you could say, of perfectness. It's the glue of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. And where is that peace of God to rule?
In our hearts.
Because that's really where we need it to rule. You know, you can pretend to be peaceful and happy and all that stuff in your brain, and in the outreaches of your brain and but if it's not really in your heart, that peace will dissipate quickly and you'll freak out and be nuts. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be what?
Thankful.
Yeah. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, similar to what we just read in Ephesians. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, we're to be thankful. When the word of God really is in our heart and we're really tuned in to God and it's really there, we're going to be thankful, because then we really know where our source of life is, where everything we have comes from, because everything comes from God. He created the heavens and the earth. You know, they do all these experiments now, and they're doing all these things about space and discovering planets and all this other stuff. And they went, well, is there life on these planets or is there not? Well, I don't really know. I know what the Word of God says. It says God created the heavens and the earth, and he put man on earth. And it seems to be that the universe was made for our galaxy. Our galaxy was made for our solar system. Our solar system was made for Earth, and the Earth was made for man, and man was made for God. Pretty simple. Yeah, he had a good plan. So, I don't really care what's on other planets. I'm not really interested in E.T. He was ugly anyway. Okay, back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. So Jeremiah said, thy words have been found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, it didn't just happen. It didn't just happen, and it wasn't an automatic. Just because you hear the word of God, it's not automatic. You have to make a, you have to make an effort to keep it there, to put it there. In chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verse 1, it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. So Jeremiah was a Levite because he was of the priest line in Anathoth in Benjamin. You know, and what in every tribe, originally, the Levites were dispersed among all the tribes of Israel. So he would be there. So he was of the priests of Anathoth, an area in where the tribe of Benjamin lived, and that's where he was. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And Josiah was really a wonderful king, and it says that no king ever turned back to the word of God like Josiah. He just turned back to God. They found the word of God, and when he found it, he was just thrilled with it, and he proclaimed a fast, and they did all kinds of great things, and he tore down all the brazen idols and got rid of all the false gods and did all kinds of great stuff. So, in the 13th year of his reign, so he's pretty far into the reign of Josiah, is when God called him. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, who was not such a good king. Matter of fact, he's a pretty rotten king, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. So then after Josiah came these two evil kings, sons of Josiah, until they were carried away into the Babylonian captivity. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So, you know, you see this on bumper stickers and stuff, but this is specifically written about Jeremiah. Good. That's who it's written about. It's not written about everybody in the world. I don't know if it's true of us or not. I can't say because it doesn't say in the word. What I can say is, you know, it says this about Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, verse 6, then said I, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He said, you know, God, I'm really not up to the task here. I don't think I can really do this. I don't think I can be your prophet. I can't talk for you. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And you know, when God touches his mouth, that means that he is sanctified. He's set apart. We're set apart. We're sanctified. God's put his words in our mouth. He gives us Holy Spirit. And when we're willing to listen to him, we can speak his word. We can do what God wants us to do if we listen to him. Then verse 10, it says, "See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant," meaning positively he would get rid of the evil stuff and he'll help establish again the good stuff. It's pretty great. Let's go to 17, verse 17. It says, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee." And to gird up the loins means what? In a physical sense, it would mean to wrap your midsection and strengthen yourself so when you do heavy work, you wouldn't hurt yourself. But in the sense of what he's asking Jeremiah to do, it means to get strong in your mind, in your heart, you know, to gird up the loins of your mind, you know, be strong because you have a tough road ahead and you need to be strong. You can't be wishy-washy. And, you know, that's true of all of us that believe God's word. We can't be wishy-washy about God's word. We have to be determined to take a stand for God, because the world will try to talk us out of it, won't they? People will try to tell us we're nuts or say we're foolish or stupid or any number of things. So it says, "Gird up the loins, arise and speak unto all them that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." You know what? Jeremiah had some tough situations. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, he was persecuted. He was imprisoned. He was mocked. But God stood with him and God delivered him. He was, you know, like a fenced city, like a brazen wall. And even kings and princes could not defeat him because he had God's word in his heart and he stuck to it. And let's go to chapter 9. Chapter 9. So Jeremiah was quite a guy, and if you read the book of Jeremiah, you understand why it says, "Thy word have I hidden in mine heart." Well, not that. Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it became unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Because it was God's word that sustained him, that kept him going, that helped him through all the adversity and all the trials and all the tribulations and all the difficulties that he went through. And, you know, I don't think any of us have gone through anything near what he had to go through ever. You know, he just went through all kinds of crazy stuff. In chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." You know, no matter how smart you are in this world, no matter how cool you think you are, no matter how many academic things you have. It says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." You know, he's got all the bases covered. No matter what would make you great in life, according to the man, according to the senses, it doesn't mean a hill of beans to God. But what does it say in verse 24? "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." Well, how do you know me, God?
From his word,
yeah. That's the only way you can truly know God. You know, you could look around at the stars and you could look around at nature and you could marvel at how the human body works, but it's very limited about the knowledge of God, because that does not in any way tell you about the great love God has, the great mercy, the great forgiveness, what he did to redeem us, how perfect he is, how wise he is. You know, you only know that, you only understand the heart of God by knowing his word. says, but let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's what God delights in. He has, you know, if you make $1 billion, God doesn't really care. You know, if you're the strongest man on earth, or you're just really, you know, acquire a great deal of authority and power in this world, God doesn't really care. If you're really academic and smart, God doesn't care. What does he care about? That you acquire knowledge about him, that you look to him, that you love him, that you know him. And he says, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord, that you know God's loving kindness, his judgment, his righteousness. That's what God wants us to know about. And let's go to Psalm 24. And that's where we'll end up today. Psalm 24. So, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. You know, if the word is to be the rejoicing of your heart, the delight of your heart, you have to put it there. You have to make it the joy and rejoicing of your heart. If you don't, it won't be. You know, now, for some people, it may be easier than others. I'm not saying that, you know, it may not be so easy all the time, but you have to make the effort. And the more you make the effort and the more you do it, the easier it gets and the more enjoyable it gets. And there's so many great things about the Word of God, seeing how loving God is and how forgiving he is and how wise he is and how much he cares for us and what he's done for us and what he will do for us. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. It's an inexhaustible book. It's an inexhaustible knowledge to be discovered and to be savored and to be enjoyed. And as we apply it, we become wise. It's a great thing. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And the word or there, it says, it should be and. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You know, and what gives us a pure heart? God's word. You know, putting God's word there. We believe in Jesus Christ. God cleanses us when we're born again, right? But our life and our heart, our mind are purified as we put the word of God in there. You know, it just is, it's clean. You know, it says the word of God cleanses us, makes us whole. So, you know, we are to attend to our heart. We're to watch over our heart, keep it diligently. And the way we do that is by putting God's word in there and keeping it there as much as possible. Okay, so Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and for blessing us and watching over us. And we thank you for what a great God you are, that you can show us how to protect our heart and keep your word there and to really make it live, that the word truly can be the joy and rejoicing, the delight of our heart. And we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.